Thank you for my friends that are here today, Lord. I thank you for the hope that they have in you, Jesus. I don't care how they came in, Lord. I don't care what they've done before they came in here, Father God, what their past is like. You love them so, so much, Jesus. You love them so much. And we do not throw rocks at anybody, Lord, but we just embrace them and welcome them into your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's more to being a Christian than what the modern day church knows, really. Jesus is like no other man. Let me tell you one thing that Jesus is not. He is not mad at you, my friend. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it. My Jesus is not mad at you. He's in heaven. Just waiting for you to come unto him so he could change you. He's not mad at anybody in here. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care if you're Mexican, black, Haitian. There's no color in the eyes of Christ. He's not mad at anybody. I don't care how many times you said you weren't going to do this thing that you do, but you did it anyway. He is not mad at you. He's just happy that you're here today to hear his word. And if there's anybody that I want to teach me, and that's the man Jesus Christ, instructed of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to keep you long. I don't like preaching long. I like getting out of here by Brother Alex. That's his mama. But you want to know where he's at? I'm fly. Jesus is a remarkable man. He's not the Jesus that's preached in every church across America. He's not the Jesus that's mad at a young man because he wears an earring. He's not a Jesus that's mad at a young man because he wears a tattoo. He's not mad at the young man that has cornrows or dreads. That's not the Jesus that I serve. And it's not the Jesus that's in the Word of God. Jesus isn't mad at the young lady that has slipped up. He's here to offer you hope. Jesus is Jesus. He is like any other man that's on the face of this earth. His heart is for you, man. Listen to me. His heart is for you. His heart is for you. Jesus said this remarkable thing. I just want to teach you today. I'm here to help you walk out of your mess. You don't have to tell me what your mess is. If you choose to, that's fine, but I'm here to help you as a representative of the kingdom of God. I'm here to help you, my friend, overcome your greatest obstacle in life, and that's yourself. As I'm overcoming myself daily, I'm here to help you overcome yourself. And if I cry, that's fine. It's just a level of compassion that's been coming over me a lot lately where I've been crying a lot. Because that word's just doing wonders in me. But I'm here representing God's word to help you with your walk with Christ. Whether you got a consistent walk, an inconsistent walk, lukewarm or hot, I'm here to help you and to encourage you. I can't beat Jesus Christ into you, or hopefully I can just live enough in Christ where you can feel his presence when I speak to you. If you can't feel him when I speak to you, then I'm good for nothing. If you can't feel him when I speak to you, then I don't need to preach. That's what's wrong with the modern day churches. Preachers want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with no love and no anointing in their life. That's why this young generation hates church. Because all pastors do is throw stones at people. Can I have an amen? Do you know why pastors throw stones at people? Because they're guilty of the very things that they're throwing stones at you for. When a pastor's always preaching on lust and drugs and fornication, he's really speaking about his own misery that he's living out of himself. So he wants to take it out on people to make up for the filth that's in his life. I'm here to offer you hope in this man named Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is head over heels in love with you. But Pastor Homer, you don't know my past. I don't need to know your past. He knows it, and he doesn't care. He wants to train you up to be his disciple, his slave, and his servant. And I'm here to help you today by preaching truth to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 5, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came unto him and he taught them. Jesus taught a group of people that wanted to be taught. He taught a group of people that wanted to be taught. There might have been 10 or 15,000 there that day when he was on the mountain. But the Bible says, seeing the multitudes, in other words, there was thousands there. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came unto him and he taught them, saying. And then there was three chapters that he taught certain things to his disciples, basically saying, guys, if you want to come after me, if you want to be my disciple, if you just don't want to be a Christian that comes to church just to come to feel good about your walk with Christ, if you want to follow me, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to make a difference in the kingdom of heaven, hear my words. He gave me and you the perfect blueprint, the perfect demonstration of love on how me and you should live. The church, when I say the church all over the world, the body of Christ, knows very little, really. They know very little of the true love of God. But Jesus gave us the perfect blueprint in Matthew 5, 6 in heaven on how me and you are to live our lives. If I want anybody to teach me in this world, it's the man named Jesus Christ, my perfect, 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 perfect example. If I want anybody to teach me in this world, it's Jesus Christ, my perfect prototype. Listen to what Jesus said here. Remember, my friends, I'm here to help you. I'm not here to judge your walk. I'm here to help your walk. I'm not here to judge your lifestyle. But hopefully when I open up my mouth, there's enough anointing and power within me that you'll judge yourself under the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said this. This is part three of Man on the Mountain, what I'm calling this. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, and I'm not going to keep you long, so bear with me. I don't like keeping anybody long. I don't like you being bored and scratching your arms and your legs, and I don't like keeping people long. Jesus said this. Jesus said these words to the men and women that were there that wanted to be his follower. There was other people there that didn't want to be his follower. He wasn't talking to them. If you're here today and you want change in your life, he's talking to me and he's talking to you. And these are the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He said, blessed are you, he's teaching me and you, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. Jesus said, as he's teaching me and you that day, blessed are you, that's Matthew 5 and 11. You can follow with me, Matthew 5 and 11. Blessed are you, that word blessed means that's the favor of God. The favor of God is on you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. Is that what the Bible says? No, it doesn't. It says the word falsely in there. You didn't read your Bible. He said the word falsely. That's the key. Blessed are you. He's talking to me and you. When basically Jesus is saying, blessed are you when society talks about you, when they slander you, when they come against what you stand for. How are they going to come against me and say all kinds of evil against you? This is the thing. Falsely. For my sake. Jesus is teaching me and you. He said, you're blessed, my children, when you're reviled and when you're talked about and when you're persecuted, and say all kind of things against you. When society, the unbeliever, when they say all these kind of things against you falsely for my sake. Then he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The church has taken a beating. The corporate body of Christ has taken a beating. See, there's a place in God that very few Christians, including here, have ever touched. A place of true mercy. A place of being a peacemaker. A place of being pure in heart. You know why Jesus taught me and you this? Because he could teach us this. What Jesus asked me and you to do, he what? He did. And he's asking, he's teaching me and you today, he's looking at you eyeball to eyeball. And Ashton, blessed are you, Ashton. The favor of God is on you, Ashton. When they revile and they persecute you, Ashton, when they say all kinds of manner against you, evil against you, falsely, for my sake. The unfortunate thing is that the majority of the things when people talk about us, they're not usually false, are they? Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are. But the church is so known nowadays for the pastor running off with the secretary. Well, it's not going to happen here because I'm the secretary and I'm a male. I'm not going to run off with the pastor. No, it ain't going to happen. The modern-day church is so full of another man taking another woman's wife, or with another wife taking another man's husband. The modern-day church is so full of filth. It's so full of darkness that usually what they say about me and you in general, 60 or 70% of the time. Isn't that a shame, Sandy? But there's a place that Jesus is saying that me and you can find, where we can so love him, Ashton, where we can so love him that all we want to do is please that man on the mountain, Jesus, when he wrote Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I haven't found that place completely, but I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the day when I'm living my life and, you know, when we die from this earth, we should die two ways. We don't have to die in a car accident. We don't have to die being murdered. We don't have to die of AIDS. We don't have to die of sickness. That's not written and it's not biblical. If we die, we should die in our sleep or die as martyrs. There's a place that if you want, my friends, if you want, you can find in Jesus where all you want to do is live for him. There's a place that can be found when they talk about me and you, when they revile me and you, when they persecute me and you, and when they talk about us as evil. There's a place that can be found where all the rumors and persecutions and the revilings, all those are false. And Jesus says something so remarkable after that. He said, when they revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely, he said, there is a place of reward in heaven. My dear friends, I'm telling you, I will say this right now, that the time is now, but the time has always been to live holy. Time has always been to live holy before God the Father. Jesus said, you are the salt of this earth. You are. You that come to me and hear me and do my sayings. He said, you are the salt of this earth. He told me and you that a few verses down. He said, you are the salt You are the salt. You are the salt of this earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, it is good for what? Nothing. But to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Listen to what sweet Jesus said. Listen to me. This is what sweet Jesus said. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen to what he said. King Jesus. He said, you are the salt of this earth. You are every one of you here that comes to me. You hear me. And if you do my sayings, you are the salt of this world. He said, who? You are Ashton. You are Sandy. You are Delia. You are Homer. You are Barbara. You are the salt of this earth. Listen to what he said, sweet Jesus. But if the salt has lost its flavor, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. He said, you are the salt of this earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down under the foot of men, but to be trodden under the foot of men. Meaning, we can do the kingdom of God no justice. If our walk isn't right with him, we're nothing to the kingdom of heaven. We're nothing to the kingdom of heaven. When we're talked about, when we're slandered, when we're reviled, when they speak all manner of evil against us, it should be in a what manner? In a false manner. There's a place that we have to find in Christ Jesus that very few have found. A place where we want to serve him from A to Z. There's a place, young ladies, a place of holiness, a place of purity where you can live in Christ, where you can desire Christ Jesus more than you can any other man alive and vice versa. There's a place in God, young men, that you can find where you're not burning inside for the things of this world. That place can be found in one man named Jesus Christ by spending time with him on a daily basis. I desire the part of me that isn't dead. I desire so much to coach my children. To coach Nathaniel, which has been a surprise to me this year in football. I desire so much to be there, Sandy. I had a chance to coach freshman football when Quentin played. The high school offered me a position to coach freshman football. I wanted to so bad, but I know and I knew how dedicated I get to that. And it would take away my quiet times with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things that my flesh wants to do, but there's a hunger inside of me standing that's outweighing what my flesh wants to do. You see, I got to dig in that place, Sandy. I got to go in my room, like Matthew says, enter into that secret place and shut the door and be intimate with my God. There's a place that we have to find where we're so reviled and persecuted by society because of our righteous stance that we have in God. That place can be found if we just find that absolute place of surrender. I said this a while back and I'll say it again. I have reached the place, the last 6 months of my life, I have reached a place, maybe a little bit, or I pray now because I don't have to pray. I pray and I spend time with Jesus because I want to. No longer do I say, I got to go to bed early, I got to do this early because I got to pray. No, I don't have to pray. It's my desire to want to spend time with Jesus. That has become my complete desire. Complete, listen to me. My chair where I sit in my room, it calls me, come on, fat boy, sit down and worship the Lord. So there's a place where no matter how tired I am, Ashton, no matter what I went through the other day, my little boy always tells me, David, y'all know David, the different one. I got four sons. Three are very athletic, but not David. David's going to be I don't know what David's gonna be. I know when he was 6 years old, he played T-ball and he quit the first, he laid on second base and he wanted his bottle. At 6 years old. I got three boys that are very athletic and one that isn't. But little David, every day, he'd see, David doesn't know that I work to pay our mortgage. See, little David doesn't know that daddy wants to go home and rest. Dad, take me to the dollar store. Dad, take me here. Dad, take me there. David doesn't know the 50 calls that I handle, the 100 emails that I handle every day, and the pressure that I'm put on at work. He doesn't know that. David knows around 9 or 9:30, he says, hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? He wants to wrestle with me every single night. About the same, I got to hide from him. Hey, Chubbs, hey, fat boy, it's time to tussle. But you know what he likes about, and we wrestle, me and Nathaniel, he wrestled Quentin and Elijah, they're too, I don't want to wrestle with them, they'll beat me up, they're too big. Nathaniel goes in there with us and wrestles with us sometimes, but David, every night, hey, fat boy, you ready to tussle? And God ministers to me with that statement. Because no matter what I went through that day, all he wants to know, and yeah, I give him noogies and wedgies, and we do eat, he punches me. One night we were wrestling, and he hit me hard, down like a man. I said, come on, son, we're just wrestling. He said, hey. No, hold on. No, we were wrestling the first night, and I hit him a little too hard. Boom in the head, and gosh, Dad, we're just playing, man. And he got mad, and he walked through. I said, son, that's the way I roll, son. I ain't raised no girl. I raised a boy. And he left. He got mad. I laid down 30 minutes later. He come up to me. I was just laying down in my bed. Pow, right in the face. Dave, what are you doing? He said, hey, that's the way I roll, man. But every single night, I mean every night, hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? And we'll wrestle, and he'll punch me, and I'll punch him. And when I'm beating him, you know, of course I can beat him. Only I weigh him by 20 pounds. And we're wrestling. And I let him beat me, and he thinks he knows how to do an arm bar. And I let him grab me in the arm bar, and he grabs my arm, and he puts his leg around it, and I just tap him. He's like, I got you, didn't I, Chubbs? And he'll say that, and we'll wrestle again. And then I'll get him, and I make him tap out. I said, I made you tap out then. He said, no, that was a fake tap. Fake tap. Fake tap. Fake tap, Dad. Fake tap. But you know what he likes the most out of that time of tussling or wrestling is the fact that he feels the embrace of his dad. The very fact that he feels his dad holding him. And I must kiss him at least 10, 15, 20 times every time we tussle. And I don't get tired of kissing him. When I see my newborn grandson, all I want to do is hold him in his arm and just look at him. I just want to look at him. I can't wait till my other grandson or granddaughter's born. I see Quinn's baby and I just want to hold the baby in my arms and just kiss him over and over again. But David, you ready, fat boy? Dad, you're fat. Thank you, son. I didn't know by wearing these waist 38 pants that I was fat. You wanna tussle, Chubbs? Yes, son, come on. He'll jump on the bed, he'll get my purple pillow, and he'll throw it on the floor. Come on, Chubbs. And we'll tussle 10, 15 minutes. That's the same heart cry that we ought to have every day. We ought to be by now at a place where we shouldn't have to feel that we have to pray. After all these years of hearing what we've heard, we ought to be at a place where we want to worship Jesus. And I don't care how tired I am at night. My wife can testify to you, that chair is mine. And I'm just there, just me and the Lord. Not because I have to, but because I want to find that place of discipleship in Him. I want to find that place of servanthood and slavery in God, where nothing else on the face of this earth matters to me. Nothing else matters. But hearing the words of the man on the mountain, being conformed to His image, edified and exhorted and comforted by the Holy Spirit, and making a difference in this world for Jesus, not with words. There's too many words spoken in the kingdom. See, we know very little about emptying ourselves, getting rid of those old habits in our life, because we don't tussle with Jesus on a daily basis. We don't desire Him on a daily basis. Prayer is not a burden to me whatsoever. I don't say anymore. I just say, oh, God, man, I'm tired. I got to get home. I got to pray. No. I finally reached the place where it is a daily want and desire in my heart. Or I don't even think about missing my prayer because I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to be submissive to the people. I want to further my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gets easier and easier to be nicer and nicer the more that I feel the embrace of Jesus Christ. And He's here today asking you, He's calling you on that mountain. He's saying, won't you follow me? When we're talked about in this world, when society mocks us and reviles us and persecutes us, everything they say about me and you should be in a false manner. Because they're jealous. Because they want what we have. And what we have should be spirit so full of the Holy Spirit. The more and more I fall in love with Jesus, the more and more I'm falling in love with people. I hear the words that Jesus says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, one time I said that He was talking about the brothers in the church. Pastor Bronx said that He was talking about the enemies. Well, we both had it right. It's talking about anybody that you're judging, if you want to get technical. You can judge a brother and you can judge your enemy. So we were both right. Jesus said to me, I'm almost done. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you and persecute you and say all kinds of manner of evil against you falsely. Love your enemies. Be complete as your Father in heaven is complete. See, it's easy to love somebody that's good to you. It's another thing to love somebody that has reviled you and said all kind of bad things about you. But God is kind to the unthankful and to the thankful. We represent the kingdom of heaven. Our love should be demonstrated to everyone the same. Is it? No. The body of Christ needs a major, major overhaul. Jesus said these words. I'm almost there. Stay with me. Jesus said these words regarding all the things that He taught me and you in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. He said these words in chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house. Who's got a King James in here? Anybody got a King James version? You got a King James, Barbara, Reuben, and Daddy? Anybody got a King James version? Sandy? Okay. Read the King James. Verse 24, 7 and 24. You got King James? Okay, read it. Read it out loud. On a rock? On a rock? Okay, you got New King James in. Okay. No, I wanted. Okay, I wanted King. What do you got? Upon a rock, exactly right. King James got a little bit wrong that time. This is what King James says, and I'm almost done. Jesus is saying, regarding everything that I just taught you in Matthew 5, 6, and this is what Jesus is saying to me and you. He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Jesus said this regarding everything he just said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. These are the words of Jesus. He said, here who hears these sayings of mine. Jesus is saying to me and you, he who hears these sayings of mine, listen carefully, I beg you, and I'm almost done. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. That's what King James said. What sayings? Well, when Jesus said to be merciful, that's one of the sayings that he was making reference. When he said be a peacemaker, it's one of the sayings he was saying. When he said be pure in heart, it's one of the sayings he was saying. When he said judge not, when he said be merciful, these were the things he was asking me and you to walk in as believers in him. This is what King James said, but King James got a little wrong. I know because I got a Greek interlinear with the original Greek. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus is saying, regarding about everything he just taught me and you in two verses. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Jesus said, all these sayings that you hear, all the things that I'm teaching you, if you do them, he said, I'm counting you as a wise man. What? When I ask you not to judge and you didn't judge, Homer, I'm calling you a wise man. When I ask you to be merciful to your enemies and you were merciful, I'm calling you a wise man. When I ask you to be a peacemaker, Homer, and you were a peacemaker, I'm calling you a wise man. When I ask you to be humble and you were humble, Homer, you were a peacemaker. I'm calling you a wise man. He's saying, all the things that I ask you to do, when you did them, I'm calling you a wise man or a wise woman. All my sayings that I taught you on that mountain, when you came to me, you heard them, and you did them, I'm calling you a wise man who built his house on a rock. That's pretty interesting that he would say that. When the actual Greek says, who built his house on the rock. King James said, a rock. The actual Bible says, the rock. Let me share something with you, my friends. The sayings of Jesus Christ are the rock that we built our house on. If you hear God's word, if you do God's word, there is not a devil in hell that can ever come. There's not a trial or a tribulation or a circumstance in this world that can ever consume you. Why? Because you built your house, per se, on the sayings of Jesus Christ. What he asked you to do, you did. And when you do what he asks you to do, Jesus said, you are a wise man or a wise woman, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the hardship is, I guarantee you, you're going to make it through that time in your life. Why? Because you are a wise man and you chose my word. You chose my love over yourself. That, my friend, I conclude in heart that you are a wise woman and a wise man that built your house upon the rock. In other words, you esteemed his word. You regarded his word more than you did your selfish ambition. He said, you, my friend, are wise. You are a wise builder. No matter what Satan throws at you, you're gonna make it. Why? Because you chose perfection. You chose his word over every single damnable thing that this world threw at you. When somebody talked about you, you didn't judge them. When somebody broke your heart, you were a peacemaker. When somebody came against your family, you were pure in heart. That is what makes a disciple. The church knows very little about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We think talking the gospel is being a disciple. Well, let's talk the gospel after we live the gospel. There's a big difference. He said, if we live the gospel, you are the one that built your house on the rock. Not just any rock, but on the rock. And the rock is the sayings of Jesus Christ. See, when cancer comes, or blindness comes, or sickness comes, and I built my house upon the rock, guess what? I win. It might take me a while, but positionally, I win. Or I won. I just gotta keep standing. I was told 2 months ago that I was gonna die. A slow, painful death. Well, you know what? The pain's gone. I was told 2 months ago that I would never again receive my eyesight. Guess what? I got cleared to drive 10 days ago. So you're going to tell me that falling in love with Jesus doesn't work? You're going to tell me that falling in love with Jesus isn't what we should not live for? David said in Psalms 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. There's not a secret to receiving the benefits of Christ. He said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Loving God is nothing more than incorporating his love or his word into your life. Have I arrived completely? No. But I'm striving for that place. As a matter of fact, tonight, when I get home, I'm going to eat a little something, and I'm going to go sit down in my chair and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Come with me on this journey, my friends. Aren't you tired of speaking vain words out of remembrance of your mind? You think you're qualified to preach the gospel because you can remember the gospel? Anybody can say words about the gospel. Let me hear you. Let me feel the love of God when you tell me about this man named Jesus. Don't be dogmatic with me. Everybody's dogmatic. You know what a fisherman uses to catch fish? What's he use? I'm almost done. He uses a what? You got to have a hook first. A hook with what on it? A worm? Bait? Puts bait on the hook, right? Wrong or right? And the bait is held in place by the hook. And the bait lures the fish. See, nowadays there's fishermen in the church that just have a hook. Well, we forcefully want to put the hook in somebody's mouth to catch them in. Forcefully, we're going to fish. I'm going to get you with my words and you better listen. No, my friends. There should be anointing on that hook. There should be God's presence on that hook, not just a steel hook to penetrate somebody's mouth and catch him by force. There's got to be love on that hook. There's got to be anointing on that hook. That's why Jesus said, come and I will make you fishers of men. Follow my lead, boys. Follow my mercy. Follow my purity. Follow my heart. Be quiet and learn from me, King Jesus, and I will make you a fisher of men. We're called to be different, my friends. We're not called to be anything else but separated from this world. I've had things happen this year with my kids and myself. They don't alarm me. They don't alarm me. They don't alarm me. Tonight I'll go home and tussle with my little one and watch a little football. Eat me a sandwich or two, maybe three, depends how hungry I am. kiss my wife on the cheek, have my kids take off my shoes, take off my shirt, throw on the floor, get in my boxers, my long johns. Renee knows, I ain't. Get my purple pillow, sit on my couch, watch a little football. Go to my room, lay on my recliner, and I'm off. Spending time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7, hearing the words of a perfect man instructing me how to be a disciple. To being a Christian is easy. Being a disciple. Disciple's one that has no rights. He realizes the life he lives is for another purpose. Or higher power, hierarchy, and his name is Jesus Christ. This isn't your ordinary youth group. I want to help you as I'm helped by the Holy Spirit and God's word how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A place where me and you can find together a place of hope, a place of purity as sons and daughters of the kingdom of heaven and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Every person in here, if you live your right correctly in Christ Jesus, you can live a long life in Christ. You don't have to die in a car accident. You don't have to die of AIDS. You don't have to die of cancer. You don't have to die of none of these things that the world dies. Oh, why? Because we're sons and daughters of the kingdom. I'm here to tell you today, my friends, there's a place that we can find in Christ where all that matters is him. All I want in life, and I'm done in 2 minutes, is to get as close as I can to God. And then out of that place, I want to love you more. I want to be the best grandfather in the world. I want to be the best dad in the world, the best husband. I want my kids to be able to come to me no matter what they do and know that their dad's going to love them and encourage them and pray for them as long as I live. I pray for my kids almost every night. Every night. Just about. For my niece, for my son, for Quentin Jr., for Julie's lady, for my wife, for my dad, for my granddaughters. I pray that they fulfill their calling in Christ Jesus. There's a place where you can find, my friends, I'm telling you, where prayer is not a burden, where spending time with Jesus is an absolute honor. Keep pressing in, my friends. Keep pressing in. Let that man on the mountain that wrote Matthew 5, 6, and 7, let him instruct you with the perfect blueprint on how to be a disciple. Read the Bible, worship. I'm just going to tell you to spend time with Jesus. I pray in tongues a lot, but that's not all that Jesus taught. I pray in tongues for hours every day, but that's not all that's taught in the Bible. This is the only book that I read right here. This is the only book that I read. Other people want to present other books. No, I will never advocate another book over this. Never. The day that I advocate a book over this is the day that I will resign from this church. This is the only book, according to Psalms 18, that says it's holy and it's undefiled. Me and this book and my hours of tongues and my times of worship with Jesus, that's what makes me. To the image and transform into the image of Christ. Read this book, man. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 along with Luke 6. Read it. You'll never be the same. This is what I advocate. I advocate the Holy Spirit. I advocate times with Jesus Christ. If I advocate any book for you to read, it would be Dave Roberson's book, but that book does not hold precedence over this. Not even remotely close. Probably the best book that's ever been written. If you want to read the book, I'll get you a copy. It's a great book, but that book does not touch this book. Not even remotely close. And to say it would is flat out blasphemy and heresy. This is the book of all books. The book of all books. So come with me, my friends, on this journey. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and Luke 6. Luke 6 is a smaller version of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's a smaller version. But you won't understand Luke 6 till you can break down 5, 6, and 7. And in that teaching is Jesus Christ teaching me and you how to become disciples. When we're talked about, let it be that we're talked about because we live holy lives in Christ Jesus. I love you and I want you to make it so much, man. Spend those hours praying in the Spirit. Spend those hours or minutes reading God's word and worship and confession and fasting, doing the things that we're taught here. Not as works, but as avenues into Jesus. As avenues into transformation, into Christ Jesus. Hang around each other. Love each other. Come to church. Not just Sunday nights, Sunday mornings. Wednesdays, they got prayer on Fridays. Come to church. Come to church. Come to church with an open heart and ears to hear. Think about it. You might say, I'm tired. Well, you're not going to do any strenuous labor. You're just going to sit down. If you want to go to sleep, go to sleep. My brother Jimmy does it all the time. Just come. Sit down and fall asleep. Fall asleep. Come. We're a family. Build your house upon the rock. You build your house on the sayings of Jesus Christ, my friends, you will win every single time. This word is holy and undefiled, purer than the purest of gold. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read it. Take it in on a personal level. Picture Jesus on the mountain looking at you eyeball to eyeball, giving you the perfect blueprint of how to live your life in Christ Jesus. And pray in the Spirit as much as you can. When you read a verse that touches your heart, you lift up your hands towards heaven and you tell Jesus how much you love him. Over and over again. Give Jesus the opportunity to mold you and mend you. Give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to mold and mend you, to comfort you and edify. Give God the opportunity. You will never be the same. I believe you are all here by divine appointment, my friends, to make a difference, not just as a regular Christian, but as a true, firm disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with me on this journey. Come with me on this journey. Deny yourself. Deny your ambition. Deny your appetites. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Be a difference maker. Young ladies, be strong. Young men, be strong. I love all of you so, so more than I ever have. I love you so much. Let the world talk about us in an evil manner because we live right. Let the world talk about us and call us insane because we love a God that we've never seen. Let them mock us for talking about a God that we've never seen. Let them make fun of us because we know it's true. We know it is. Let's make a difference for Jesus by emptying ourselves out, by renewing our mind and edifying our spirit and putting to death that wineskin. Let's make a difference, man. Let's make an absolute difference as disciples of Jesus Christ. Not in word, but in deed and in truth. Living out of that born again. Young ladies, you can do it. You're real quiet and attentive tonight because it's bearing witness with you. Say little and pray much. When you pray much, you'll say a little. You'll say much out of that lifestyle that you live. There's a difference. There's a difference. I will say much when the timing's there. I won't say much when the timing's not there. Learn to be patient. Ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, are they ready for the gospel? Amen. Be disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. What time is it, Renee? What time did I get done? What is it? 7:52. 45 minutes. Now, I know how many Haitian Americans do we have in here? Raise up your hand. How many Haitians in here go to church where your church only lasts 45 minutes? They all put their hands down. How long does a Haitian church usually last? Tell me something.
4 hours.
4 hours. Look at that. And we didn't even take up an offering. Guys, I'm here to teach you. I'm here to teach you out of lifestyle. I'm here to teach you out of a place of intimacy with Jesus Christ. So come with me on this journey. Even church here don't last 45 minutes. Pastor Brown went till 12:30 today. It didn't seem like it, though. It didn't seem like it. If you come in here with an open heart, you'll enjoy every service. If you come in here with an open heart, if you have ears to hear. Stand with me, please.